Our scripture reading is taken from 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him.
Once again, welcome to church service today. Take it out of our day to come here. We set this aside a day, aside each week, to be able to worship our God and our Savior. And I thank God through the Lord Jesus Christ that I'm here today. I've had the privilege of coming up here and speaking what I want. I have not been told what to speak about. And I thank the church for that. So today I'm going to speak about in John 5, about the pool of Bethesda there and other things too. So I just pray that we are open to the Word of God each year that we have. And so we just pray that we will be able to understand the words that God has put into this book through the prophets of old, to really think that this was written so far, so long ago, and yet the words are the same today, prevalent and written down many, many times, different languages over the centuries, and it's still the same today. As we look at this miracle here, we see in a Bible commentary that there's about 35 miracles of God, or of Jesus, and there's probably many more that's not even mentioned there, but this is one of them, so we'll look at that today. There, just what was the reason that God or Jesus chose this man to be the recipient of his love. So let's have a word of prayer. Our kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we thank thee once again that we are here to hear thy word, to praise thy, honor thy holy name. We thank thee, Father, for your word, that we may learn of thee, that we learn of our Jesus, but especially to learn of our God. We know, Lord, that you came to show us the Father, to show us how that we can be like the Father and like the Son. Help us truly, Father, to truly be your representatives here upon this earth, in the vicinities, in the areas that we live, where these are our missionary posts that you have given to us. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Yes, we're going to look at Daniel, or John 5. Before that, let's turn to chapter 20 of John, if you would. Verses 30 through 31. John 20, 30 and 31. 30 and 31. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that ye may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. And yes, we know that only through the Lord Jesus Christ can we have life eternal. And so we see that. See, the Gospel of John was given to exact the person of Jesus Christ so that we may believe on him and that all that believe on him can be saved. It's just not a historical statement of the life of Jesus. It had purpose. So we're going to observe Jesus here in John 5, 1 through 9. As he delivers a man from the bondage of affliction. And we can do to remember that Jesus can do the same thing for us today. If we give him the opportunity. And so as we look at that, we see that here in the commentary also tells us that the purpose for this story here was to bring the leaders in Jerusalem to a decision. And the results of this miracle, his wording here, was a verdict of censor designed to counteract the influence of Jesus, brand him an imposter, plot to take his life. Spies were committed and commissioned to receive and secure evidence against him. But here Jesus still gave the account of this story of this man when the affliction. We see that we have a compassionate Savior here with this man in verses 1 through 5. As we read that, let's read 1 through 5. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, And Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market, a pool which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there, which had an infirmity 38 years. 38 years. We see that he had a wretched condition. Verse 5 tells us that. You know, at this one time that Jesus was walking about, he was alone. His disciples wasn't with him. And so here, and he's seen all these people here, this multitude. He wanted to heal them all. He didn't want them to leave anyone. He wanted to, but it was the Sabbath day. And this was going to be the first miracle that he performed on a Sabbath. On a Sabbath. But it would excite the prejudice of the leaders and try to hinder the word of Jesus that he was given. So he didn't choose, but he chose this one person. And according to scripture, we see that this person had this infirmity for 38 years. It doesn't tell us how old he is or when he got this infirmity, but it does say that because of his, part of it is because of his sins, that he had this infirmity for 38 years. He had been sick longer than Jesus had been on earth, on the earth. The Bible says that this man had an infirmity. This means that he had some weakness or failness that prevented him from walking about or even standing as other men do. We see what a picture of a sinner who is lost and separated from God by his sins. If you would look at Isaiah 58:2, that was our scripture meditation today. 58:2. 58:2. Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways as a nation that did righteousness and forsook not the ordinance of their God. They ask of me the ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching to God. And then Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And we know that we all have. We have come short of the glory of God. But regardless of what he tries, the sinner is still lost and unable to save himself. He's unable to walk in the ways of the Lord without help. We know that he is desperate. The very fact that the man is here at this pool in his condition is proof positive that he is desperate for healing. And we know that we all are desperate for healing. Now, it may not be physically, but it's other ailments that we have, and we do want healing, and only through the Lord Jesus Christ is this made possible. It doesn't tell us how long he had been there, how many years, but we know that, imagine himself dragging himself day by day to that pool to try and be healed. Such determination that he had to be able to do this day after day. And we know that sadly there are too far sinners, few sinners who are desperate in their own need today to keep going after the Lord Jesus Christ. We are weak. We look at ourselves instead of to Jesus for our healing and for our advancement. And so we see that. He's also disappointed in verse 7. The impotent man answered, "Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool, but while I am coming, another steppeth down before me." He told us that he's been a long time there. And every time that he tries, somebody gets ahead and goes ahead and gets the healing instead. Years after years, he's seen his hopes and his dreams disappear. They're shattered as another person beats him to the healing waters. Again, we can see this sinner scenario that they have there. A person can try many things to bring peace to his soul, in salvation to his soul, but does not receive it. He can try works, religion, goodness, giving, prayer, and there's many more things that we can try to be able to receive that salvation. But we do not make it. But we know that none of these things will ever be able to save us, save any. Why? Salvation is only through the blood of Jesus Christ. We can see his wretched companions there in verse 3. He's surrounded by many others in these same conditions that he was in. And we know that there's many in the same condition that we are in today ourselves. They offered him no comfort or help, and they wouldn't help him anyway because they were in need of that healing power, those healing waters themselves. Again, the sad people mirror the sinners in help of their helplessness, their brokenness and blindness, usefulness before the Lord, Ephesians 2:12. So we know, though, that we need to follow the Lord Jesus Christ in his word. And here we can have healing and we can become the person that Christ wants us to become, his helping hand. We look at a sympathetic Savior in verse 6, the first part. When Jesus saw him lie and knew they'd have been how a long time in that case, we can picture Jesus as a compassionate Savior. He is shown doing three great works that prove this to be true. He is shown choosing the sinner. The sinner didn't approach him. According to the Bible's own witness, there was a great multitude there that day. And I said, Jesus wanted to heal them all, but he chose this one man. So we see there that he could have went to any person in that place. Yet he, for his own reasons, he chose this man that had this infirmity. This was nothing but pure grace from our Lord Jesus Christ. What a picture of Christ in his work of salvation for mankind. He knocks on our heart's door. John 6:44. He reaches out to us in love and calls us unto himself. Jeremiah 31:3, if you would turn it there. Jeremiah 31:3. Jeremiah 31:3. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. And then Matthew 11:28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Yes, the surety of heaven, rest. To have that burden lifting. If we put the yoke on of the Lord Jesus Christ, we know that he will do all the pulling. When sinners respond to him in faith, Romans 10, verses 9 through 10. Romans 10, 9 through 10. That if you shall confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Oh, to receive salvation from our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus comes in and does a work of salvation for each and every one of us. We know that we have things to do ourselves, but Jesus does the main things for us. He changes our hearts and our lives. In verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's all there is to it, folks. Call upon the Lord's name. They have that faith and belief in our Lord Jesus Christ, and we shall be saved. And it's coming soon. We can have that saving grace right now. We'll put on the robe of righteousness when our Lord comes for his people, and that we will be with him forever and ever. What a promise, what a blessing that we have that can carry us through the worst of our days. No matter what comes up against us, if we keep our eyes upon Jesus, we will get through. We see that happening. This is a work of grace and grace alone. He's shown caring for the sinner. He knew everything about this man. He knew that he was crippled, unable to walk or stand, unable to carry his own bed. Jesus knew that this man was totally dependent on others for everything he had in his life. It doesn't tell them how they took care of him, how he got food or nothing or anything, but he did, was helped down to a certain spot to get to the water, but then everyone else was ready to go themselves to try and jump in that water and be healed. But Jesus reached out to him anyway. No matter what we have in our lives, Jesus will reach out to each and every one of us. What a picture of his grace. In fact, the pool was named Bethesda, the house of grace or of mercy. We know that God is full of grace and mercy. You know, Jesus knows all about the sinner's condition. He knows that we love our sins. We may say we don't, but we do love our sins. That we cannot control our passions, and that we desire the things of the world that gratify this old flesh. We know that we need to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ for redemption. And yet he still loves us. He refuses to see us as we are, and chooses rather to see us what we can become through the power of his grace and his grace alone. All we have to do is follow the Lord Jesus Christ in that path that we go upon this earth. He has shown coming to the sinner. And what may be the greatest move of all, Jesus came to that sinner literally, reached out to him in genuine grace and love. And it's the same for us today. He reaches out in that genuine grace and love for each and every one of us. He wants none of us to perish. And each one of us prays that we don't. There are three ways in which Jesus comes to the sinner. He comes as a sacrifice. The first time Jesus came, he came to die. He went to Calvary and gave his life for ransom for the sinner, for each and every one of us. That should humble us every time we look and read that or even think about it. He took our sins upon himself. He put our filthy rags upon himself and paid the price for our redemption. So we see that. He became our sin, became your sin, and suffered the awesome wrath of God so that we can have, that we wouldn't have to. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Let's turn to that. 2 Corinthians 5:21. That was our scripture reading. Second Corinthians 5:21. For he hath made him to be sin for us who know no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Oh, to be like Jesus. He comes to us as a savior. Yes, when he comes to a sinner, he comes as a savior to save us from our sins. He comes and offers eternal life to all who will accept it. who will receive him into his hearts and into their lives. We pray that each one of us have already done that. That we allow him to come into our lives and dictate the way that we live and act. That we love one another. That in unity as a church, we work to give the gospel commission to the world. So that all may hear of the Lord Jesus Christ. He comes as a sovereign. One day if the sinner doesn't respond to the gospel message and come to Jesus, he will find himself before Jesus one day as a judge. The same Jesus who has the power to save us today will one day have the power also to sentence us to death. Revelation chapter 20. You turn there. Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15, where the judgment of the throne of God. I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. To know that that could happen to us if we don't truly give ourselves over to the Lord Jesus Christ before it's too late. There's also a striking miracle. An offer being made. Verses 6. The second part to through 9. Wilt thou be made whole? The potent man answered, Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise up, take thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on that same day was the Sabbath. Here this man responded to the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus asked this man if he would like to be healed. The man responds by appealing to the flesh and tells Jesus that no one can help him into the pool. The man is guilty of the same thing that so many of us are guilty of, confusing the physical with the spiritual. And even today, Jesus comes to the lost sinner and makes an offer of salvation to each and every one. There is an order that he does it. Jesus tells a man to get up and walk. That's all there is to it, get up and walk. Jesus told this man to do something that he hadn't been able to do in 38 years. That's a pretty remarkable command. All that was required of this man was simple. Childlike faith and obedience to the call of Jesus. Know that we're not able to see Jesus. As this man did, we know that Jesus is here by our sides calling us to repent, to receive him so that we can be saved, so that we can have this childlike faith and give the obedience to our Lord Jesus Christ. When the call comes to the sinner, who is asleep, the only necessary response is faith. And I pray that each one of us has that faith this morning. There is an outpouring when this man responds to the call of Jesus, command by faith. He's immediately healed and was able to get up and walk. The miracle required no input from the crippled man. All he had to do was get up and walk. Salvation works the same way. Jesus comes to the sinner and calls him into salvation. And all we had as a required of the sinner is simply in humble obedience to the call of Jesus Christ, his Savior and his Redeemer, our Savior and our Redeemer. And when this obedience comes, the sinner is immediately healed instantly made right with God, transformed into God's child, delivered from his wrath, and made an heir to all that heaven has to offer. Jesus demonstrated his power, the great physician, by healing this man's body. However, that there's no indication that this man ever became a believer in Jesus. Verses 10 through 15 tells us that in 5. The Jews therefore said unto him that thou wast cured. It is the Sabbath day. It is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. He answered them, he hath made me whole. The same said unto me, take up thy bed and walk. Then asked they him, what man is that which saith unto thee, take up thy bed and walk? And he that was healed was not who it was, for Jesus had not conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. Afterward, Jesus findeth him in the temple, said unto him, behold, thou art made whole, sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which made him whole. How sad it is to come face to face with Jesus, to know his power, to know his touch, and yet continue to sin without him. We know that the great physician is not only able to heal the body, he's able to heal the soul. We can trust in that. We can trust that God will heal our soul.
May we bow our heads in final prayer. Almighty God, Father of us all, help us to forget our own difficulties and troubles, that we may praise you, Father, and receive new opportunities to live for the glory of your name. And let the fresh blessing of each new day awake praise in our hearts for all the tokens of your loving care. And we thank you also for your peace that we have in our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.